In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel, we have a man who is trying to take advantage of the Lord, because he obviously had heard about the Lord, all the things that he was doing, all the things that he supposedly knew. And this man was a ruler. He was a ruler of the local synagogue. And he came up to trick Jesus. He came up to ask him questions that, in many cases, he already knew the answer to. But yet he wanted to find out for sure what this man named Jesus was really all about. So the first thing he does when he comes up to Jesus is try to insult him a little bit. Now, how does he do that? Well, he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" Well, first of all, if you look in the Syriac, saying "good teacher" is an insult. Because back then, if you had a real teacher, one who was considered to be authoritative in everything, you would call him great master. But he didn't. He called him good teacher, what you would call perhaps a lesser teacher or someone who was still studying under a particular master. So good teacher was an insult to start with, but Jesus wasn't taking the bait. Instead, he turns it on the man. He says, well, first of all, and notice he doesn't say that it's improper to call him good. He says instead, "Why do you call me good? Because there is none good except God." In other words, who do you think I am? If you're calling me good, then are you saying that I'm God? And in which case, you would be absolutely correct. But no, he doesn't do that. Instead, he says, well, I'll tell you what. You know what the commandments are. And he lists off 6 or 7 of them. And, you know, this is what you should be doing. And the man says, well, you know, I've done these my entire life. And we must think of this man as being what we'd probably call a good citizen, if you will. He's following the law. He's probably one who's considered righteous among his peers. There's no question about that. He actually reminds me, and I don't know why this is, this shows you how modern culture penetrates sometimes our own thinking. But whenever I read this particular gospel as given in St. Luke, I think back to Godfather 1. Now, why would I do that? Because if you might remember, if you saw that movie, there was a guy dressed in white who was like the owner of the street. He would walk around and, "Hello, hello," and everybody would bow to him and say, "How are you?" and "God bless you," and all these things. And he'd take a few dollar bills and toss them to the kids. And when that horribly gaudy statue of the Virgin Mary comes through the streets with hundreds of dollars stuck in her sash, he would make sure that he put a lot of money in there. This was someone who wanted to be known for being, you know, an important dude, right? That was the thing. Well, this man, this ruler, is the same way. He's thinking the same way because he's, first of all, sort of trying to pull Jesus down a peg. And then Jesus says to him the things that this man says that he's always done. But yet, one thing you lack. The man was probably, oh, what could that possibly be? Go. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the man went away because that was the last thing that he was going to do, that he wanted to do, that he would be able to do perhaps. It just wasn't going to happen. And so he turns away. And the Lord says, how difficult it will be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And of course, by camel, we have to understand not the animal crawling through a needle's eye, but instead what they would call the camel, which was a tight sailor's rope, very large, very strong. That can't go through the eye of the needle. It's an impossible thing. And the disciples are pretty amazed by this. And the Lord says this. Well, if that's the case, because as we all know, there were a number of rich people people with a lot of money, including a couple of the myrrh-bearing women who were very wealthy. They had means, and they were helping Jesus all along, as were undoubtedly many other people that were seeing to the things that they needed, to the food that they needed, to sometimes giving them shelter, to the house that Jesus stayed in Capernaum, for instance, that we know about. Someone had to be doing these things. And so the disciples are even more taken aback. Well, you know, what about all the people that are, you know, helping us out, following us along? What about them? It's if this is what you're saying, then who can be saved? The Lord says, well, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's the point of this whole gospel. Because when we think about it, we try and apply it to ourselves today, the rich ruler in this particular gospel probably did not enjoy even a quarter of the comforts that most average citizens enjoy today in this country. All of us are rich in one way or the other. All of us. Now, does that mean we have to go sell everything and give it to the poor? No. Some might. There's many saints, including Saint Anthony the Great, who were inspired by this gospel to go and give away everything they had and went and followed the Lord. There were not just a few saints, actually quite a few. But does this mean we're to do that? Well, no, not necessarily. Saint John Chrysostom, in fact, says the rich are given to us for the sake of the poor. And the poor are given to us that the rich may be saved. Because that's the key to everything. It's not having the stuff, it's what you do with the stuff. What are you willing to sacrifice? The key word there, sacrifice, for the sake of other people. Because many of us, if we have an extra few dollars this month or something like that, we might give it to someone, or we have a charity we contribute to. But you know what we do? We budget that usually. Okay, well, I can give this, and I can give that, and I can give this according to what my salary is, what my needs are. But are we giving according to the pain that it causes us? Are we reaching out beyond what's budgeted and giving till it hurts to someone else who is in need? Because if all of us are indeed rich, and if it's impossible for us to get into the kingdom of heaven otherwise than by the grace of God, then this is the type of thing that we should be doing. In the early days, the Christians, of course, had everything in common. That was a requirement when you became a Christian. You took everything. It was like, the big pot in the middle of a Monopoly table. You came and you tossed everything in it. And then it was divided up according to those that needed it. If there were widows, orphans who were not taken care of in those days, that money would go to them. If there were other things that needed to be done, then that would go to them. In the Roman Empire, when children were born that were not wanted, that were not aborted, what did they do with them? They took them out and put them to be exposed to the cold and the weather, to die like that. Most of them were girls, actually, that were taken out like that. The Christians would take some of that money. They would go and find these children and bring them back into their homes, essentially adopting them. So following this gospel and following the Lord really in anything that we do requires going above and beyond. There is no minimum what we have to do in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. There is no minimum at all. It's all maximized. Everything. We have to give everything, or at least be willing to give everything if it's required of us. And again, in most cases, perhaps it won't be. Perhaps you may never be called upon to sacrifice to that extent. But if you aren't called upon to do that, how much are you willingly sacrificing? What can you willingly do? What can you willingly help someone else out with so that when you get to that great day of judgment, the Lord will say to you, well, you know that extra 10% that you sent to those poor people out on the corner out there that one time, you know, I was among them. I was there. So you did that to me. But instead, not wanting to be ignoring those people and saying, well, guess what, oh dear beloved parishioner of St. James? You saw this, that, and all these different times, and you ignored them. That was me. You were ignoring me. Because it's very curious that if we read the accounts in Matthew and Mark about the day of great judgment, that all that is mentioned is what we have done. What did we do for our fellow human beings? What did we do to bring people to the faith? What did we do to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world? Did we hold it in? Did we ignore it? Were we afraid of it? Did we cower before it? Did even the sight of the cross in public, God forbid, make us nervous and afraid? These are the things that the Lord asks of us, to stand up, to be counted, not before the world, but before Him, because He is the one that's doing the counting. He is the one that wants all of us to be with Him. But we won't be with Him if we are not like Him. And the only way we can be like Him is to do the things that He tells us, to follow the examples that He gives us in His parables, all through the Gospels. The Gospels are just loaded page after page with things we're supposed to be doing. That's the whole point of the Gospels. If we were just simply, well, I'm saved, I believe in the Lord, fine, throw the Gospels away. Because nothing else applies to you. Because everything in there tells you what to do. That's why the Gospel is honored. That's why it's read week after week to instruct us how to behave towards our fellow human beings and towards our Lord Himself. So all of you who are rich, and everyone is, put Him first. Be generous with what you give. Do it from a warm heart, a giving heart. Because anytime, and you all know this intuitively, you may get gifts at Christmas and all these things, and oh, I've always wanted that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But when you give something to someone else and you see the absolute joy on their face and the thanksgiving for having received something from you, you get far more in return. And we all know it. It makes you feel really good. And that feeling good is the light of the Holy Spirit within you that is warming up as you reach out towards our Lord Jesus Christ day by day by day. Amen.